Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed. Thank you for listening. Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you guys?
We are too.
Good. I'm doing good.
Week from today.
I hope I'm doing good.
Week from tomorrow.
I know I'm well.
Week from tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow.
Have you already voted, Steve?
No, sir. I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way, just out of protest. I'm going to go stand in line. By the way, I am going to take an hour or so off next Tuesday so that I can go vote, just so you know, boss.
What about you, Ed? You voted yet?
No, I've not. I'll vote Tuesday. Tuesday morning, my wife and I will go, and I hope I can find time to vote.
I've only voted absentee one time. Hope you can find time to vote. Me too. Hockey's not on, right?
Oh, this is more important than hockey.
But have you ever voted absentee?
I did one time. I was going to be – in fact, I think it was I was going to be going out of town to – it was either Israel or Jordan with the Ministry of Tourism for both of those countries.
Yeah.
One was in 2000 – I forget the years, but
– I just ask a simple question. Have you ever voted absentee?
And okay, that's all. I was going to be out of the country.
Memories of a trip years ago.
Ah, yes. My first encounter.
I didn't know how long this was going to go.
With the falafel.
I remember it well.
I remember it well. The sun was going down. I was in the old city of Jerusalem.
So 7 minutes later, to answer your question, yes, Tim, I have voted absentee.
All right, yes, I have. There you go. Now, how boring is that?
All right, Steve, get us back on track
here. All right. Hey, you know, on Sunday, 60 Minutes aired an interview with President Trump, also one with Vice President Joe Biden. I'm sorry. Well, yes, with Vice President Joe Biden and both of their running mates, Vice President Mike Pence and hopeful Vice President Kamala Harris. There was a big to-do about the Trump interview because after about 30 minutes, he had had enough of Leslie Stahl, who was the anchor that was interviewing him, and he kind of walked out of the interview. They made a big deal of that on Sunday. But President Trump knew that they were going to kind of twist his words or thought that they were, so he scooped 60 Minutes and released this the whole interview with her so that they couldn't manipulate or somehow rearrange the interview for their program. I want you to listen to some of how this interview went. It was called contentious. Some people were saying that she interrupted him. I just think she was a little lost with reality. Listen to clip one.
I wish you would interview Joe Biden like you interview me. It would be so good. You know what?
I thought you liked it.
But when I watch him walk out of a store and he's walking with ice cream, and the question the media asks him, what kind of ice cream, what flavor ice cream do you have? And he's in the midst of a scandal.
He's not.
And he's taking,
he's
of course
not.
He is,
no.
Leslie.
Come on.
Of course he is. It's the biggest, second biggest scandal.
So,
the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign,
there's
Leslie.
No real evidence of that.
Of course there is.
No.
It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify that.
It's been totally verified.
No.
Now, listen. They did spy. By the FBI.
Now she knew who was talking about.
Right.
Now, you might say, well, there's a difference between surveilling and spying. Spying, you conjure up thoughts of illicit behavior, right?
Well, it
spying.
Was illicit. It's a distinction with no difference, I think.
Yeah. I agree with you,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And Leslie Stahl is smart enough to know that. And she might say to him, well, you call it spying, the FBI would call it surveilling. But she says, no, she's just dismissing it out of hand.
Right.
And also it's saying that Biden's not involved in a scandal. We just talked about this the last half hour. There's a lot of explaining that Vice President Biden needs to do about his son and these business deals and these emails. That's a scandal that is not being covered.
And she
acts like it doesn't even exist.
Here's part of the scandal in my view, and that is that Facebook and Twitter and the mainstream media all decided on the day of the revelation about Hunter Biden laptop and the emails that there was nothing there when none of them had read the emails yet.
Right.
How did they know there was nothing there?
Right.
Leslie Stahl, are you telling me your news staff at CBS has looked at the emails? Have you done that? And if you have, why did you decide not to cover it?
All she says is we can't verify.
We can't verify.
Well, you haven't tried.
Absolutely. That to me is a scandal.
Plus, with news agencies all the time, they investigate things and they look at things and they report on the appearance.
Right.
They don't necessarily have to have all the facts verified around the world for them to suggest something may be true because it looks like it.
Right.
They can always say allegedly or it appears. But she's saying 60 Minutes, we don't put on anything on here that we can't verify.
You know, Steve, what infuriates me is that CBS, along with the rest of those jokers, they covered the Russian the dossier scandal.
Yeah.
They covered that. They covered all this other stuff with Russian collusion. They covered it till we were all blue in the face, but there was no there. None of that could be verified, but they covered it.
Yeah, and the same thing with social media when I think it's Twitter or Facebook, one of the two, says they're not going to deal with hacked material if it's hacked. They certainly had no problem with reporting on President Trump's tax returns, which were hacked. It just doesn't make sense.
Whether the American people vote to re-elect Trump or Biden, or elect Biden, you know, that's the choice that people will have to make, right, across the country. That's what we'll find out next Tuesday. But for the media and the social media giants to do the bidding of one candidate overwhelmingly is a scary thought going forward.
Yes.
Quite frankly, because these people are supposed to at least to pretend to have some objectivity.
Yeah, you're saying it's not like they're going to take their foot off the accelerator if Joe Biden wins. It's just going to get worse.
It's going to get worse for Biden.
Well, I'm just saying in terms of the news media only covering one side.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Except at some point they'll probably switch over the media. If they feel like they put the conservatives on the shelf, they will switch over to the war that's going to go on between the, quote, moderate Democrats and the left-wing, the far, far left.
Socialist wing.
Because they're coming for Biden.
Yeah.
AOC, they're holding their tongue right now as much as they can. Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez,
the representative from New York, and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and those far, Kamala Harris.
Right.
She's one of them. So they're going to really attack Biden if he doesn't carry out their...
If he doesn't end fracking.
Yeah,
et cetera.
And all the things that also... ending our borders.
Yeah.
Now, they're going to say, we're not for ending borders. Well, yeah, they're for ending borders if it means stopping people from coming here.
Right.
Illegally. What the Democrats will do under Biden, they've already talked about making amnesty for 14 to 20 million people.
Right.
Just giving them citizenship, right? I guess a pathway to citizenship is what they call it. But that would change the voting demographics in America forever. It would be the end of the Republican Party.
Right.
On a national level, the Republican Party would still be prominent in states that are red states. But,
yeah.
But you know, there's another question that Joe Biden should be asked about. How do you propose that we stop illegal immigration into our country? Well, he's not.
Right.
And the liberal media doesn't want to stop illegal immigration
into
the country. They want people to come here and not be detained. That's what Vice President Biden has said. I don't want to detain people.
Right.
So if you don't want to detain people for coming here illegally, then you've de facto got open borders. but nobody asked him about this.
And he had the gall during the debate to say the vast majority of these on catch and release show up for their hearing.
Was he fact-checked by the media?
I haven't seen any fact-check.
I think I saw one that fact-checked him as fairly accurate. I don't know if it's true, but they said...
No, they don't come back.
I don't see how they come back if they're allowed to stay.
No, they're not going. And the Democrats want to get rid of ICE.
Yes.
So, I mean, you want to get rid of ICE. You don't want to detain anybody for coming here illegally. You want to give them free... Remember, all the Democrats signed up for free health care, free government health care for anybody who comes here.
All raise their hands.
For anybody who comes here to our country from another country, illegal or not, we want to give them free health care. They all raised their hands. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, you would think that's not so much of an issue now, because I guess a majority of Americans don't care about that issue, I guess.
Well, let me just say, Steve, I'm not questioning what you saw on the fact check. There's no way that the vast majority of those who come to this country illegally...
The catch and release program?
Are fleeing political persecution or feel like they're in, that their lives are being threatened. Okay? That's what those hearings, for a vast majority of them, are meant to determine. That they're coming here... fleeing political persecution, and their lives are in danger if they go back.
The Washington Post reports that 44% of migrants who were not in custody failed to show up for their court proceedings.
Almost half.
Okay. Yeah.
First day, I think it's higher, but okay.
Well, almost half. I guess what I'm saying is that if you're claiming asylum, which a lot of these hearings are meant to do,
mm-hmm.
then something's fishy. Because all these people aren't coming here because they have a legitimate claim to asylum.
Look, as the president has said before, if you don't have borders, you don't have a country. So if you're good with allowing everybody, with basically allowing anybody and everybody to come here, then I guess that's the choice people have. But don't call it a country.
Right.
A sovereign country, anyway. If you don't have border control,
right,
of people. And also, I don't know if you're going to allow people to come here on the northern border and southern border and just basically do away with stopping anybody, why would you check passports?
Right.
Coming into JFK or LAX or Dallas-Fort Worth Airport from internet. Why do you need that? If you're not going to have laws about whether right. you can be here legally or not, why do you check passports?
Right.
Right? So anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
It's good news over the weekend. On Friday, President Trump announced that Sudan was joining tripartite agreement between Israel. So now it's Sudan, it's United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain who have normalized relationships with Israel. It didn't get a whole lot of play in the media,
of course.
Right. I want you to hear what Charles Hurt, who's the Washington Times political commentator, had to say on Fox this morning about that. Cut 9.
And the fact that you have a guy that comes in, he's been in office for 4 years. He didn't even really run on this part of doing things. He didn't even run on, he didn't get elected because of his foreign policy chops. Yet he is able to look at the situation in the Middle East, the intractable situation in the Middle East, and he rethinks it, he reinvents the wheel. Sometimes it drives people crazy, but that's what he does. And he winds up with a very common sense solution that could lead to peace and prosperity for millions of people and save lots of money. It's all good. And on top of it, it's all gravy, politically speaking, because like I said, this isn't even what he got, what got him elected in the first place, but it's that fresh set of eyes.
He was robbed of the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize this year, I think.
And he was nominated twice, wasn't he?
He was nominated by two people for two different peace agreements, one in the Middle East and one in Baltics.
Look, the fact that you can pull Arab countries together to make peace with Israel publicly is an amazing accomplishment. and all those countries, I think, are Arab.
Well, they are.
The Sudan, I'm not sure. I don't think the Sudan is.
Sudan is very
Sudan
much.
Sudan would be. Would they be Arab?
Yes. You know, they're the ones that launch all those hijackers into the Gulf there to take over the oil.
Yeah, but the people are black.
It's a Muslim nation.
Yeah,
well, it was actually during the revolution, it was split Christian and Muslim topically.
It's majority Muslim. It is majority Muslim. I don't think it's Arab, but
it's African.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's not the point. Well, it is one of the points, but
two of the countries
two
are
of the
Arab.
Countries, Arab. Yeah.
The New York Times is calling Sudan the third Arab state to formally set aside hostilities.
Can you believe the New York Times, Steve? Come on, man.
All right, listen. I'll check.
You call yourself a conservative? You believe the New York Times?
I don't know.
I would. My guess is that maybe the Sudan has a mixed population, but I think of the Sudan as African.
It speaks. Arabic.
Egypt is Arab. You know.
Yeah.
And that's in Africa. A lot of Northern Sahara, Africa, is Arab.
Right.
All the way over to Morocco, right?
Yes. Because way back in the day.
Libya.
Okay, listen, Steve's right. The Arab presence is estimated at 70% of the population. So
of the Sudan?
The Sudan. The largest Sudanese Arabs are by far the largest ethnic group in Sudan.
So
kudos to you, Steve.
Steve.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Where'd you get that?
And the New York Times.
Yeah. So, all right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
A remarkable, remarkable statistic, a poll that the Rasmussen Reports actually took that shows in the last week, the black support for President Trump has jumped almost 25%. It's at 46% as of today.
In 1 week.
In 1 week. Now,
what does that mean?
It means a lot of black people are reconsidering voting Democrat.
I would
assume. Now, there are perhaps a couple reasons. There were two. One popular rapper who came out in support of Trump. His name is 50 Cent. By the way, we need to all get rap names. Because 50 Cent and Ice Cube were both said to support Trump, and also Block Boy JB and Five Co Foreign, they also support Trump.
I love that latest album.
Yeah, it's good.
I do have a rap name. I don't know what you're talking about.
What's your rap name, Ed?
Pepperoni.
DJ Pepperoni.
It's actually Pepperoni.
Pepperoni rap.
Pepperoni.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Can I just call you Chef Boyardee
no.
For short?
No Italian. No self-respecting Italian would ever eat Chef Boyardee.
Let me just say
that
50 Cent, or Fitty as he's sometimes known, has
you're
since...
telling me... A rapper. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
Has since walked back his support of President Trump after his ex-girlfriend Chelsea Handler criticized him. Ice Cube never really did. There was a picture of a hat that was superimposed. Those other two, Block Boy and Five Co, they really do support Trump. And also, of course, there's what's the guy that recently became a Christian?
Kanye West.
Kanye is supporting President Trump.
I thought he was running
supporting
himself.
Kanye,
well,
isn't he?
He is supporting Kanye, but I think as far as
he's not able to get on the ballot
no.
in most states, I think.
So this is what we'll know. If in this next week that 46% dumps back to somewhere around 25 or 30, then I think it's pretty clear that it was the perceived support of some of the rapping community.
Was it Van Jones on CNN who said you got to give President Trump credit
yes.
for what he's done for the black community?
He's an American,
yes.
he's an African-American leader.
Van Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Civil
and,
right.
he's, and he's been very anti-Trump, but there's a big, he says, but you do have to give him credit. He's done a lot for the black community.
Like what?
Well, like you're saving, making sure monies went for the next 10 years to historically black colleges. There was the criminal reform. Let's see, what there was three or four things that President Trump mentioned.
The lowest African-American unemployment.
Unemployment, right.
Ever?
You know,
the zones, economic opportunity zones.
Yeah.
You know, all those things, those are real things that the president accomplished that affect the African-American community in a positive way directly.
Right.
Those are accomplishments. Those aren't words.
They're also not words like poor kids can do just as well in school, just as smart as white kids. That's what Joe Biden said.
The list of things that you could play with Joe Biden that are racially incendiary. Incendiary? I guess that word right?
Yeah.
Incendiary. Are you could we could play a top 10 list here over his career. Or at least they're controversial, right?
If you don't vote for me, you're not black.
Yeah. And who was it I was watching? Jason Locke. There's another African American who interviewed President Trump the other day. Anyway, where President Trump gets this racist rap is not. There's no. He hasn't earned it.
No, it's part of the narrative that they put up.
Because we just listed four big things that the funding, the 10-year funding of historically black colleges is something that Barack Obama didn't do.
No, he kept the practice of you have to come back every year to get funding.
And President Trump said, why are you coming back every year? And they said, well, because we can't get into long-term commitment. And he said, well, you can with me.
Yeah.
You would think that the black college presidents would speak out on behalf of the president right now and say, listen, whatever you may think of President Trump, he's helping educate black college students around the country at historically black colleges, and we give him credit for that.
Yeah.
But it's like they just know, they say Charlottesville.
Yeah, right.
Which is not even, he didn't even, you know, they misquote him on Charlottesville.
Right.
It's just the racist tag. Anyway, the fellow was saying the other day, this black commentator with Jason Whitmore, I think it's more. Anyway, he was saying that, you know, that before the president was the president, he was Donald Trump, the businessman, the celebrity. And he said all these rappers and everybody hung out with.
Right.
And wanted to be pictured with Donald Trump, you know, when he was a businessman. Now he gets to be president. All of a sudden, he's a racist.
Yeah.
And again, they'll cite you two or three quotes that are often taken out of context, always taken out of context, to say he's a racist.
Right.
There's nothing that he said or mistreated people who are black. The day in the debate, he said, I'm the least racist person.
Yeah.
In classic Donald Trump style,
yeah.
He said, I'm looking around the room. I'm the least racist person in the room.
Yeah, and he also said what he said, I've done more for the black community. No one's done as much since Abraham Lincoln.
Right. And it's maybe hyperbole, but he's citing specific things, big things that he has done.
It might not be hyperbole if you look at what civil rights legislation was huge, but what the Democrats did with the civil rights legislation in putting together all the social welfare programs, which have kind of kept black America down.
We have... Will Tim eat his hat? Watch. Not eat my watch, but I've said that if Biden beats Trump in Georgia, as some of these polls suggest, that I will eat this hat.
I think you need to back off this. I think you ought to just say, I'm speaking metaphorically. Not that I think Biden's going to win Georgia, but you don't want to put yourself in a position where, first of all, that's a nice hat.
It is a nice hat. You tell me, I just don't believe for 1 minute that Biden beats Trump in Georgia.
You might want to get a lawyer on your side if he does. That way you can,
I know. I'll get out of it somewhere or another. See you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.